P-minus 79. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. So what actually happens here? Clark asked, watching uneasily as Emma made sure that the red deep-diving uplift patch on her neck was firmly in place. You just kind of look for stuff? Leisha said it's almost like trying to remember something in your own mind, except you can remember everything. But he was doing it on adult humans. Can babies even remember stuff? Now that Emma was the one preparing to do the so-called deep diving, Clark was far less relaxed about the process than he had been when he was preparing to do it himself. He had never been truly relaxed, of course, having heard Leisha's warnings and seen his exhausted condition after performing the only known deep dive on the intruders at Chip's house. He had, however, been ready and willing to take the risk, whereas he found it far more difficult to stand by and watch Emma do the same. This was Clark's protective nature coming to the fore, with keeping his loved ones and those close to him safe from danger being a drive he was never able to contain, even when they wanted him to. I'm not looking for Piper's memories, Emma replied, her tone characteristically focused in a way that reassured Clark somewhat. After all, it wasn't just anyone close to him who was about to engage in a mysterious and unpracticed process, he told himself. It was Emma. Emma, more capable of dealing with difficult situations than anyone he had ever known. Emma, with the most perceptive mind he had ever come across. And perhaps most importantly, Emma, Piper's mother, with whom she shared a natural bond like no other. If anyone could do this with relatively limited risk, Clark McCarthy settled himself with the knowledge that Emma was that person. Piper? Emma called, catching her daughter's attention immediately. The baby smiled up from her playmat.
Mama,
she replied. Clark's eyes, like those of William Godfrey, were fixed on Piper. Her expression didn't change as she continued to look up at Emma, seemingly waiting for her to say or do something. Evidently, Piper truly couldn't feel Emma's attempts to dive into her mind and find any hint of useful information about Dan and Tara's current situation, or even a clue as to the last image or thought Piper had of Dan before he took his leap of destiny to whatever lay beyond the previously uncrossed gateway high in the sky above New Kerguelen. Within a few seconds, however, Piper's expression did change. This brought the first clue that something was wrong, and both Clark and Godfrey quickly shot their heads around to see what Chip was already looking at and rushing to deal with. The problem wasn't with any direct negative effects of the deep diving process felt by Piper herself, but rather those being experienced by the diver, Emma. Emma's eyes had turned a deep red, exactly as Clark had seen Leisha's do in Denver, but far more quickly than had been the case then. Further, and perhaps of even greater concern, Emma's entire body was swaying like a distressed bear while her right hand opened and closed rapidly, and seemingly of its own accord, as if trying to make the loudest clapping sound it could. Do it, Clark yelled to Chip, who was much closer to Emma's neck than he was. Clark was rushing over as he spoke, but was glad that Chip beat him to it and ripped the patch from Emma's neck like an old band-aid. With the patch safely in Chip's hand, from where it could cause no more of these awful-to-watch side effects, the others looked on with a huge degree of relief as Emma's eyes very slowly began to return to their normal hue. While the de-reddening was slow, it began immediately and told them that the effects, or at least the visible effects, were going to be short-lived. Talk to me, Clark said. Emma blinked the slowest and most prolonged blink anyone had ever seen. Fuck, she eventually said, uttering an expletive in front of Piper in a move that told Clark loud and clear that everything was most decidedly not all right. At this point, he found himself hoping that Emma was reacting to her own discomfort, as awful as such a wish would have sounded if he had said it out loud, since the alternative, that she had seen or heard something upsetting about Dan and Tara, hardly bore thinking about. Burn it, Emma said, closing her eyes for even longer this time. When they reopened, the worst of the red effect had faded. Cut it up, burn it, whatever it takes. Just make sure no one else ever puts that thing on their neck. With their initial concern about Emma's physical well-being fading, and with Piper having displayed no signs of any distress until she understandably reacted with unease to the sight of her mother's eyes turning red, the three men in the room exchanged uneasy glances with each other. "But did you learn anything?" Godfrey asked, speaking for all of them and asking the question Clark had been looking for a tactful way to phrase. "Regardless of what happens next time, did—"
"There is no next time," Emma interrupted. "I've never felt anything like that, and I'm not going to let anyone feel it again. Who has it?"
"We'll take care of it," Chip said, showing her the patch. "But Emma, what actually happened? What did you learn, if you learned anything?" Emma moved to take a seat on the couch, breathing slowly, and encouraged Clark to lift Piper from her playmat to reassure her everything was okay. Emma still didn't look like herself at all, with a glazed look remaining in her eyes even as they reverted to something far closer to normal than the unsettling blood-red monstrosities they had appeared as moments earlier. Her legs were unsteady as she made the few steps towards the couch, showing that it was a good idea to have Clark gather Piper rather than for her to attempt to do so herself.
"Mama,"
Piper said very intently as Clark picked her up. He walked to the couch and handed her to Emma, who certainly seemed able and willing to hold her while seated.
"Hey, baby,"
Emma said. Piper smiled for the first time since her expression had grown frightened by the effects of the patch on her mother's eyes and was quickly bouncing in her lap like nothing had happened. Soothed by this, Emma turned her attention to Clark and the others.
"I completely lost my vision," she said. "I felt like I was spinning. Just no sense of balance or positioning at all, and it wasn't anything like I expected. I thought I would maybe just be able to think as though her mind was mine, you know? I don't know. I can't even explain what I expected, let alone what I got."
"Just try your best," Chip said gently and patiently. He retained the patch safely in his hand. "Take your time."
"Time isn't exactly something that's on our side here," Godfrey commented, winning a quick and intense scowl from Clark.
Emma nodded.
"I know. The short answer is that I didn't get anything useful about Dan and Tara. I did see a flash of an image, but I don't understand how. It was like it was from Dan's perspective, first person. You know, like in a movie, if it shows part of a scene through the character's eyes for effect, like that. I don't know, because I didn't see any more than that. But it's almost like Piper really might have some kind of remote viewing connection with Dan, like Tara mentioned. Remember?"
Clark, the primary focus of Emma's explanation, encouraged her to continue.
"Leisha had never heard of or imagined any concept like that, but maybe it's part of the special connection they have," she went on. "The alien doctor on the spacecraft, Melly, said Piper had some connection like that, but she didn't understand the exact mechanism of what it was or how it worked. All we know, or at least think we know, is that Piper and Dan share an extrasensory connection because he was uplifted when she was conceived. She got the regular powers from him, which we managed to remove with the device they found in the outpost, but now we know she really did get something else from him, too."
"Remote viewing," Chip mused. "Jesus." "So what was the image you saw?" Clark asked, explicitly raising a question he could only imagine Emma's confused mind thought she had already addressed. It was clearly the most important thing in the current moment, after all, and she had utterly neglected to mention it. "Was Tara in it?"
"Yeah. They were in the mothership, getting into the pods they need to sit in for the gate crossing. So just like we think Sacco can't communicate with Leisha through this second gate like he can through the gate between New Kerguelen and Earth, it seems like Piper's connection to Dan doesn't work through that second gate either. So I guess we did find out something about their connection. And we also found out that no one can ever use that patch again, because I don't know what would have happened if Chip hadn't ripped it off my neck when he did. Thanks, by the way. I felt my legs getting weaker and weaker. I was fading. But anyway, yeah, we learned something. But we're back to square one about what's actually happening on the other side of the second gate."
"We tried," Godfrey sighed. Emma involuntarily mimicked the sound.
"One more hour," she then decided aloud. "For real, if we don't hear anything by then, we have to do something."
No one disagreed.
The projector screen on the wall was currently blank, with the machine having been switched off to grant a respite from the incessant scenes of panicked looters in cities around the world reacting to the unexplained abduction of Earth's two most prominent planetary liaisons. While Dan was frustratingly and disconcertingly out of reach, there were no external issues stopping Godfrey from at least issuing a statement. The delay so far had been a calculated but selfless one, with everyone in Birchwood having hoped all day that Dan would be back at any minute and able to stand beside Godfrey in an effort to calm the world. Such an effort would have far more likelihood of success if Dan was there, they all knew, since any appearance by Godfrey without him would inevitably and understandably bring questions as to where he was. If anything, Emma considered that seeing Godfrey without Dan, and with no good explanation behind his absence, could make people even more frightened than they already were. At the moment, this logic went, the public didn't know anything at all. But if Godfrey showed up alone, this could underline the mystery of Dan's absence and lead people to believe that something terrible had happened to him. Total uncertainty didn't seem worse than that, in Emma's mind, but the ever-worsening scenes the news networks had been pumping into her home before she turned off the projector were proof positive that things were going to descend further into chaos before long, if nothing was done. One final hour spent hoping for Dan's return would at least give her and Godfrey a chance to plan some kind of speech or appearance with the potential of calming some nerves. But a few moments of utterly fruitless thought as to how they could dance around Dan's absence without making things worse led her to think it was going to be a difficult hour. Better than sitting and hoping, she told herself. We'll go to my office, she then decided, addressing Godfrey as she kissed Piper on the head and handed her back to Clark. We should work on some contingencies. I fully agree, the embattled ICA chairman replied. The coming hour is one in which we'll hopefully be rejoined by Dan and Tara, and Billy for that matter, but also one we really ought to spend preparing for other eventualities. At that, the two vacated the living room for Emma's office. As soon as they were gone, Clark looked squarely in Chip's eyes. For emergencies, he said, holding out an open palm. Without hesitation, Chip placed the patch in it. Absolutely, he said. Just because it didn't work like we thought it would on a baby. You read my mind, Clark said, pun intended. We don't know what the hell is going to happen next, or, and don't tell Emma I said this, even if the aliens are going to come back at all. If they don't, I'd sure as hell rather have this thing than not. For emergencies, Chip said. Clark nodded, glad to have the wily, loyal, and strategically minded lawyer on his team. Precisely.